remember me when you come into your kingdom. Amen. Who do you remember today? When you remember me, it means that you have carried something of who I am with you, that I have left some mark of who I am on who you are. It means that you can summon me back to your mind even though countless years and miles may stand between us. It means that if we meet again, when we meet again, you'll know me. It means that even after I die, you can still see my face and hear my voice and speak to me in your heart. For as long as you remember me, I am never entirely lost. Remembering is the beginning of religion. It's the oldest ritual act. Who do you remember? The ancient Celtic people believed that November was a thin space, a month-long moment when heaven and earth whisper to one another across a luminous veil. They sensed in this period an easier connection to the saints who walked before them, an opening up to eternity, measured in depth of access rather than length of days. The ones that they had known and touched, held, honored, and hoped for were not so far away, they believed, as October turns to November. The people that they loved and lost were found again, at least for a moment, as the world was spinning toward its shortest, darkest days. The Celtics' legacy is a trio of curious celebrations, All Hallows' Eve, All Saints, and All Souls' Day. We mostly know about Halloween, for good and for bad. It mimics a medieval play of good versus evil. Long before Sigmund Freud and psychoanalysis, people intuited the holiday's invitation to dress up as what scares us most, like death or the seven deadly sins, and to pit these fears against the angels of light. They knew, and we do too, that it feels good to let loose this way on one day of the year, to imagine order giving way to misrule, to let ourselves see the brokenness within, and even for a minute to admit its power, precisely so that it doesn't control us on the other 364 days of the year. But the ancients knew something about drama and dress-up that we've forgotten. Ironically enough, this controlled game is adult work. It's not kid stuff. And you know those innocent-looking boxes on the shelves of Party City and Target? Well, I think that they should have warning labels. Take a look at the social media this week, and you know it's clear. Because when we're simple-minded about our costumes, we miss the point. When we, instead of addressing our fears and critiquing ourselves and swallowing our pride, instead let our projections judge others, or worse, belittle others, well, then our well-intended masquerade balls hurt rather than heal. We used to go to cemeteries on All Saints Day, and now we gather like this in churches a few days later to remember that we are links in a great chain of being, and that the living and the dead are held together in a single moment that does not end. The world will tell us something different, but here in this place on this day, we say there's a moment when the living and the dead are connected. Charles Wesley wrote, "Let saints on earth in concert sing with those whose work is done, for all the servants of our King in heaven and earth are one." So what is a saint? in the 21st century, you might ask, in this hurtling moment when we often, let's be honest, feel stretched to the breaking point, chasing the things that we want, that we hope have real value, but hardly ever stopping to sense a thin space. A thin space like this day, when we hold together at once the new life of these three babies and the lives of 72 who've died this year. A thin place like this faith, which on its best days doesn't shrink from telling the truth about how often we miss the mark, yet it sees in every person the joining of heaven and earth and the hope of things to come. A thin place like this people who help the world see that love is chasing us for all our chasing after other things, that love is chasing us and that it finds us whenever we extend kindness to a stranger or a friend. A thin place like the marching orders that Jesus gives to us in Matthew this morning when he tells us this is what saints do. Frederick Buechner says, in his holy flirtation with the world, God sometimes drops a handkerchief. And those handkerchiefs are called saints. When one of us is a flicker of light in a world that often feels dark and dirty and cold, well, we're doing the work that saints do. When we let light shine through us, when we help some of us, when you help me who has dim eyes see what God sees and love what God loves, well then you're being a saint. When you help someone find beauty where before they've only seen unloveliness, then you're a saint. Who do you remember today? What saints? Someone who was a light for you, someone who made a rough place smooth, someone who steadied your steps through a particularly dark valley. I remember Mary and Rosie and Kenneth. I remember Anne, mother of one of my students at St. Albans School. She was the cool mom, the one who listened to your teenage problems without judgment, who put them in perspective by helping you see the humor even in a really difficult day. She was a realist, and Anne could nevertheless affect Scarlett O'Hara with the best of them and assert about some thorny problem that you might have, well, we'll just worry about that tomorrow. She was a partner in crime. Whenever she would work out with her friends at the gym, she'd mop her brow and say, phew, now let's go get something fatty and delicious. She's a therapist who shared with me her fears for the children that she served, for her own child, for her husband, things that she couldn't let them know about. The summer before Anne died, we had a series of conversations about God because the fabric of her faith that she had woven together as a girl in Oklahoma was feeling tattered, even torn, stretched to the breaking point to contain the pain of the young people that she served and that of her own son who was suffering a devastating clinical depression. She and I got to know each other driving back and forth from Washington to Johns Hopkins in Baltimore. She asked me one day in the corridor at church, who is this God who hurls challenges at us that we seemingly cannot handle? Can I depend on him? Does he hear me? Is he there? There are no easy answers to Anne's questions, nor for her family when she was killed in an automobile accident 4 months later. But what I told Anne before she died and what I've been remembering this week is this, that God's palpable, healing, real presence is made manifest in communities of care and concern. That hope enough to get through to tomorrow is realized in the faithfulness of friends who will let you be mad and let you have your doubts. God doesn't promise, I told her, that we won't have pain. But he does promise that he'll be there in the midst of it, no matter what the world can dish out. God hears us not as some disembodied spirit way up yonder, but right here in the hearts and ears of the people that love us. Who do you remember? I remember Kay and Faustinia and Betty. I remember Hamilton Rowan. When I was introduced to Ham on my first Sunday in Cold Spring Harbor, New York, in the middle of a big party, he walked right up to me and said, "I am so glad to meet the man that's going to bury me." I was a little worried, so I said, "Ham, are you feeling all right?" He said, I'm fine. There's just no harm in planning ahead." But I lost a hero when he died. True to himself, his sense of dignity and courage to the last, he fought the good fight against his cancer until it was clear to him and to his doctors that the treatment was making him sicker than the disease itself. He told me, "It's time to make some different choices." And so his dying was as purposeful as Ham's life had been. No fuss, no calling attention to himself, no regrets, no fear, hardly any pain medication. Just a few desires. He wanted to see an old friend. He wanted to sit and talk to his brother one last time. He wanted to hold his children. He wanted to walk his quiet way toward death and pray about crossing over. Now, Ham did have some very strong opinions about how his funeral should go. And he made that clear to us in one of his last conversations. He was a proud Englishman, a naturalized American citizen who landed at Normandy on D-Day. He insisted on the Marine Corps hymn as part of his service. And he said, through a very broken voice, he could hardly breathe at the time, he said, "I also want the Irish hymn." We didn't know what he was talking about. We kept kind of figuring out, and finally he said, "Hell, I'll sing it for you." And so he sang it. And then he said, "Do not sing Amazing Grace at my funeral." "Absolutely not. They don't do that at English funerals." "Okay," I said after a pause. And then he said, "Now, do you remember Princess Diana's funeral?" I said, "Sure." And he said, "Well, you might watch that as a guide." In the small world department, Ham's childhood friend was Christopher Robin, CR as he called him. And once CR said to Winnie the Pooh what we might take from this All Saints Day, he wrote, "If ever there's a tomorrow when we're not together, here's something that you must always remember. You are braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think. But the most important thing is, even if we're apart, I'll always be with you." Who do you remember now? Who are your heroes? What traits are you called to emulate? And what death-dealing actions have you learned to put down and never repeat? How can you bring light into someone else's darkness? That's how we can be saints. I remember saints, patient and brave and true, who toiled and fought and lived and died for the Lord they loved and knew. You can meet them in school or in lanes or at sea, in church or in trains or at shops or at tea. Hear me, for the saints of God are just folk like me. God's put his saints' work in our hands. Amen.